Sorrow for wrongdoing is but one step towards reform, and the very easiest step. The next and great step required by wisdom is the test of our sincerity, namely, reformation. To this end, we are placed under the stress of circumstances. Temptation bids us repeat the offense, and woe comes in return for what is done. So it will ever be, till we learn that there is no discount in the law of justice, and that we must pay the uttermost farthing. The measure ye meet shall be measured to you again, and it will be full and running over. Saints and sinners get their full award, but not always in this world. The followers of Christ drank his cup. Ingratitude and persecution filled it to the brim. But God pours the riches of his love into the understanding and affections, giving us strength according to our day. Sinners flourish like a green bay tree, but looking farther, the psalmist could see their end, the destruction of sin through suffering. Prayer is not to be used as a confessional to cancel sin. Such an error would impede true religion. Sin is forgiven only as it is destroyed by Christ, truth, and life. If prayer nourishes the belief that sin is canceled and that man is made better merely by praying, prayer is an evil. He grows worse who continues in sin because he fancies himself forgiven. An apostle says that the Son of God, Christ, came to destroy the works of the devil. We should follow our divine exemplar and seek the destruction of all evil works, error and disease included. We cannot escape the penalty due for sin. The scriptures say that if we deny Christ, he also will deny us. Divine love corrects and governs man. Men may pardon, but this divine principle alone reforms the sinner. God is not separate from the wisdom he bestows. The talents he gives, we must improve. Calling on him to forgive our work badly done or left undone implies the vain supposition that we have nothing to do but to ask pardon, and that afterwards we shall be free to repeat the offense. To cause suffering as the result of sin is the means of destroying sin. Every supposed pleasure in sin will furnish more than its equivalent of pain, until belief in material life and sin is destroyed. To reach heaven, the harmony of being, we must understand the divine principle of being. God is love. More than this we cannot ask. Higher we cannot look. Farther we cannot go. To suppose that God forgives or punishes sin according as his mercy is sought or unsought is to misunderstand love and to make prayer the safety valve for wrongdoing. Jesus uncovered and rebuked sin before he cast it out. Of a sick woman, he said that Satan had bound her. And to Peter he said, "Thou art an offense unto me." He came teaching and showing men how to destroy sin, sickness, and death. He said of the fruitless tree, "It is hewn down." It is believed by many that a certain magistrate who lived in the time of Jesus left this record. His rebuke is fearful. The strong language of our master confirms this description. The only civil sentence which he had for error was, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Still stronger evidence that Jesus' reproof was pointed and pungent is found in his own words, showing the necessity for such forcible utterance when he cast out devils and healed the sick and sinning. The relinquishment of error deprives material sense of its false claims.